Welcome to Lakemount Worship Center, connecting you to the life-changing presence of Jesus Christ. We hope that you are blessed and inspired by today's message.
All right, well, as Pastor Becky mentioned, we had 35 couples participate in a marriage intensive weekend here with Bob and Audrey Meisner. How many were here a couple years ago when Bob and Audrey came and shared? Well, you're in for a treat if you weren't here. If you were, you already know how amazing this couple is. We just so appreciate Bob and Audrey, their authenticity, and just the grace with which they communicate the life-giving truth of Jesus in real-world situations. And they're going to come and minister this morning, and I'm going to ask you to give a great big Lakemount welcome to Bob and Audrey Meisner as they do.
Thank you so much. We love you here at Lakemount. You are family to us, and so grateful that we have this divine appointment, because I've heard it several times that this is the day that the Lord has made, and He has fashioned and designed this day. So before you were born, He knew that August 20th, 2017 would happen, and with care and purpose, He shaped this day just for you.
For you.
You are precious. This is this day that we are going to honor everything that He has planned, knowing that He will fulfill His purposes. So we love you, and we're thankful that we get to be part of our day together.
Absolutely. Hey, you know what? I love everything that's happening here.
Yeah, 100%.
So I'm going to be part of staff, okay?
I was thinking the same thing. I want to start coming here. That's what I thought.
Right.
I thought, why do I love this church so much?
The worship, I'd like to make an announcement. If you haven't filled out a Connect card, something's wrong with you. I mean, this is a place to call home.
Seriously.
I'm telling you, this is a place to call home.
Oh my gosh, we love you, Pastor Matt and Lisa. We love you.
So fill this out and get connected. Seriously.
Preach it, baby.
I'm going to fill mine out.
I thought of it. Why do we live in Phoenix when we could be coming here every Sunday?
Oh my.
Sheesh. Boy, well, are we excited for today's message.
You are in trouble.
Okay, so let's put our hands on our heart, because this is not a mind thing, or we're not going to appeal to intellect or impress anyone. We just want heart straight from the Holy Spirit. So let's put our hands on their heart and say, thank you, Jesus. I open my heart to you. There might be many people in this room, but this is about you and me. Speak to my heart, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We rely on the Holy Spirit, don't we? Why rely on mere human strength when we are connected to the God of King of all kings?
Good, good, good. Well, we need to just jump right into the message, okay? I'd love to just chat and tell you all kinds of funny
My
jokes.
Mom and Dad say hi, you know, for those who know.
Yeah, Will and Betty say hi.
Will and Betty say hi.
Yes, okay. Let's just do this, okay? Jesus is speaking here, and He asks this. He says, do you finally believe? I'm in John chapter 16. And then verse 32, it says, but the time is coming. In fact, it is already here, when you will be scattered, each one going his own way, leaving me alone. Jesus repeatedly would prepare His disciples for His death. Repeatedly, He would talk to them about it. And he's referring to it again, and He says, the time's coming, and you guys are going to scatter. And they never really caught on. And He's like, do you hear me? Do you believe? Do you understand? And then it says in verse 33, He says, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. I have told you, I have prepared you. I want you not to be surprised, because in this world, you will have trials. In this world, you will have tribulation, 1 Peter speaks. And it says, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome this world. So Jesus here is already speaking, and He says, I want you to have peace in me. Here in this earth, you may have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world.
You know what words really jump out at me at
Tell
that?
Tell me.
Okay. Jesus is saying, I've told you all of these things for one reason. Mm-hmm. All of this stuff.
That you
would have
peace.
Wow. The other word I like is cheer, because I like that word way more than tribulation, but that was the other word. The word was all of these things so you can have peace. Because in this world, yeah, stuff happens. But you can be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. And we are connected with the creator of this God who is faithful. We've sung about him all morning. He will make a way. He's done it before. He's going to do it again. And that word has been prophesied to your heart since you walked in here this morning, mm-hmm. that he is going to make a way so we can be of good cheer. Do you like cheer here?
Yeah.
I'm all about the cheer.
And so in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, it says this, so be truly glad. Everyone say, be truly glad.
Truly glad.
Truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though it is necessary for you to endure many trials for a little while.
Wow, you're really going with that trial thing.
Yeah, because I know where I'm going.
Okay, I trust you.
Okay. No, I'm telling you, we face trials. Mm-hmm. We face hardship. We face tribulations. But Jesus says, hey, eyes wide open. Eyes wide open. Because your circumstances don't dictate what takes place on the inside.
That's right.
You see, I live from the inside out.
That's right.
You see, because peace is not the absence of trial. Peace is not the absence of tribulation. Peace is not the absence of war. Peace is not the absence of chaos. Rather, peace is the presence of someone. It's not determined by my circumstances, but rather by the presence of someone. And Jesus, his very name is Prince of Peace. Audrey and I, in our lives, they were really transformed as we began to make peace a priority in our lives.
And it was only like 5 or 6 years ago when you know when that revelation comes and you just get aligned with heaven. And it was like, you know, we've prioritized a lot of things in life. We've prioritized ministry success. We've prioritized influencing people. And those are all good things. But we just started saying, no way. Peace is going to be our highest priority every day in our relationships, in our family, in our relationship with God. It's all about the peace. We started talking about it. It started to become all about the peace. I'm not trying to be hippie or anything.
In
the 70s,
just to really
but I don't know why
you.
I keep doing that today.
But to really help you, is you never make a decision unless you're in a place of peace. And again, it's not contingent on your circumstances, but the condition of your heart. And again, peace is your connection with the Prince. Okay, so again, I want you to begin to practice peace in your life. And so we want to go through 5 things this morning where you can begin to find peace in your life.
And can I tell you one more else thing about, I'm really speaking well this morning. Can I tell you another thing about peace? Mm-hmm. And that is this, is that we have found that all joyful, happy people, and that's not just your personality type, I'm talking all the happiest people on earth have one thing in common. And it's not everything going right in their life. It's peace in their heart. So we're going to talk about those 5.
That was awesome.
Really?
I made a note just for our second service.
Seriously? Wow. Yeah. Okay.
You're our practice round. We'll nail it on, you know, service too. Because we never say the same thing twice.
Never. That just never happens.
All right, 5 things. I want you to begin to experience peace in your heart and life. I want you to know with absolute confidence that you have peace with God. You can have peace with God. You can have peace in your story. You can have peace with yourself. You can have peace with others. And we want you to have peace with the season that you're in.
So let's talk first about peace with God. Peace is all about connection. You think about you. What do you feel like? What is your life like? What is your day like when you have peace with God? For me, it just means I feel connected to him. But most of all, it feels like I'm not a disappointment to him. Because most of my Christian walk, my relationship with God was more like, am I doing this enough? Am I doing praying enough? Oh, that person looks more spiritual than me. I was always about not being enough. Is it just me? It was always about not being enough. And I remember the revelation that happened. Because you see, if you were disappointed, okay, like I have girlfriends at home. So if I find out through the grapevine that one of my girlfriends is disappointed in me, do you think I want to go out for lunch with her? I don't like hanging out with people that are disappointed in me. In fact, I will subliminally, subconsciously avoid hanging out with people that are disappointed in me because there's other people that like me, so I want to be with those people. So we just do this. So think about this with your relationship with God. If I believe somewhere in my heart that I'm kind of a bit of a disappointment to him, I will naturally sort of avoid him, and it'll begin a cycle where I'm just trying really hard. And it's never enough, and I never feel that peace. I'm here. God, I'm not a disappointment to you. Jesus, you love me. You pursue me. I am your greatest pursuit and your greatest passion. And it has nothing to do with how much my devotion time is not just that hour in the day that if I do it, I'm a good girl. My devotion to you is 24/7 because I just love being with you, and I'm not a disappointment to you.
Yeah.
I have peace with God because I'm forgiven and he tells me who I am.
Yeah. Romans 5:1 says this, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight, by faith we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of highest privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing in God's glory. Because of your faith in the finished work of Jesus, he has brought you to stand in his presence where you joyfully anticipate in sharing with his glory. His glory is when his view and his opinion of you becomes your reality. See, he's going to begin to develop within you character enough to be able to sustain and display his glory in the earth because you express faith in what Jesus has accomplished.
Yes.
Because you are an heir, because you are a son, because you are a daughter of the Most High, because of King Jesus, you have peace with God in your heart.
Wow.
And when you experience that peace, you naturally begin to express his glory in the earth. You see, peace is extremely attractive.
It is.
Peace is the commodity that you will carry that will be extremely...
Rare.
Okay. Rare. that it'll be the commodity that the world will desire. They look for peace. They want peace, peace, peace. There is no peace.
None.
Meanwhile, in this world, there will be chaos. There will be trials. There will be tribulations. And people will look at the glory of God being made manifest in your life because you are one of peace.
And they'll say, what is up with that one?
Yes.
How can they have peace right now?
Okay, we got to go faster. Okay. Peace with your story. Peace with God. Peace with your story.
Okay, now this is interesting. What do you think is the universal emotion that everybody ever created will experience? We hope that it would be love.
Love.
But the answer to that is pain. Everyone in this world will experience pain. What we do with our pain in our story is what writes our story. In our life, in our story, there was a part that was tragic, and it was all my fault. We've been in ministry all our life. We met in Bible school. Okay, we're that couple. We started having kids. Great, sweet little couple. Got the kids. Everything's right. But there was not peace in my heart, and I'll tell you what was happening. I was so good at performing and acting and being like this. I was so good at it. I started when I was a little girl to make people laugh. It was my thing. We all have our thing. We start surviving since we start communicating as soon as we are in a family. We have our role in our family, and I was the fun-loving, lets everyone have a good time, and the youngest. You know, I was that girl. So I had to keep that up even when my heart started to be in pain. But I had to show on the outside that I was fine and everyone's going to be okay and we're not going to fight and there's going to be no problems. Meanwhile, there was a part of me that was being locked and hidden in jail and said, you're not allowed to feel pain. You stay there where no one will see you. And that Audrey was locked up and I was living a lifestyle of quiet desperation that nobody knew about, including Bob. And it was in that season of my life, in our story, that a young guy started coming to our church. We were pastoring a church, and he started speaking to that Audrey. And I started to be drawn out, and I thought, oh, I'm so glad I can have this friendship. Thinking, I am immune, I would never, I'm a Jesus girl, I love my husband. I'm so glad that I can have a friendship like this, because I would never do anything inappropriate. I made a small compromise. Lunch, email. There's no such thing as a small compromise. Sin will take you further than you ever dreamed you would go. That friendship eventually became a heart connection. And it was just a short trip before it became sexual. Now I'm living with a secret. My story was never supposed to go this way. And it's all my fault, my own choices, my own sinful, stupid choices. And now I'm left holding a secret. And I'm at a crossroads. Where's my story going to go? After 3 weeks of it being an affair, I ended it. I sent the guy away, and I thought it was going to be my secret forever because nobody knew. But the enemy loves darkness. The enemy loves to keep the painful you, the one that is really the deepest part of you. He wants to keep it hidden so no one will, so you'll starve in that place. I told Bob my secret, and I'm being super personal, I realize this, but I'm going to rush through this a little bit just because it was so profound, though, how God rescued us. I told Bob pain was in our relationship like that is indescribable. Mm-hmm. We never knew we would ever laugh again or be okay or ever dream again. 2 weeks after I told Bob, we were in a doctor's office and found out that I was pregnant as a result of the affair. This baby won't look like the other kids. Now my story is really going to change. Because since I was little, I just wanted to tell people how much Jesus loved them. Honestly, that was my thing. That was my song to sing in this world. Jesus loves you. And now I was a disgrace, disqualified. Because everyone will know the baby won't look like the other kids. And everyone will know what this Jesus girl did to destroy her story and her song on this earth. And the enemy wanted to keep me there. And I called an abortion clinic and said, I can't do this. And then the morning before I phoned the abortion clinic, I had read the story, David's story. This Bible is full of people that had to find peace in their story. David had this affair, and then he committed murder. And then it said God was displeased with him. So I fell to my knees and I said, God, I just read that. I can't do this abortion. But then I begged God and I said, God, Daddy, if you love me, I'm begging you to take this from me. I'm begging you for miscarriage. Take this baby to heaven where it'll be safe. And because God loves me so much, he did not answer my prayer. Because, you see, I was saying, God, take me out of my circumstances. I know you've done it. We've all prayed, God, send me that easy way for it all to work out really fast and good. Evacuate me out of my circumstances. But then my dad, comes to me, and the Father in heaven says, I'm going to come to you exactly where you are in your extreme pain, and I'm going to walk you through. And though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you will fear no evil, for my rod, my staff, my authority, my comfort, my presence is going to be with you every second of every day when no one else is with you and you're laying in bed at night and no one knows what you're going through. I am with you, and I'm going to get so connected with you. And then you know what? At the end, after you go through, your story will change because you will be different. You'll be ready for the next part of your story. Hmm.
Do we have a family picture available?
Yes.
Can we show the family picture real quick? Good. Hey, there we are.
Am
awesome.
I kind of in it?
Yeah, we were.
Okay.
This is our family, and I share this with you for this purpose. I want you to have a vision or an image of hope. Because 16 years ago, I couldn't see that picture. See, I about threw everything away. Today, my son on the far left, Robert, I gave him my name because I don't want my son to ever question one day in his life whose boy he is. His middle name is Theodore, which means divine gift, because he's not an accident, he's not a mistake, he's not the result of a sexual affair, but he's born out of the heart of God, just like my other three children, and given to us, we're a family. My son Christopher is there next to Audrey, my daughter Janelle, my other daughter, I like calling her that, but it's not weird. That's my other son on the right. That's his wife, okay? They're married. And but look at this. You see, we're a family.
And they just moved to Toronto, and they're super happy. Yeah.
But we're a family. And I couldn't see that, but I wanted to, in my pain, allow my past to dictate and determine my future. You see, in pain, we can really, you know, make some really poor choices because we hit a crisis. And a crisis moment are those seasons in our lives where you have all kinds of new information, but it gets all jacked up with all kinds of emotion. And it's in those crisis moments that you want to make these life-altering decisions. But he comes to us as our Prince of Peace. He comes to us and he speaks peace to our heart. He says, let me walk you through this. And when you get through, you come out the other side with authority. Yeah. You come out the other side transformed. Yeah. You come out the other side and you begin to enter into your land of promise. Yeah. There's nothing that you can do that would thwart, that would disregard you from the promises of God, from the inheritance that is yours in Christ Jesus. For you have peace with God. And I want you to begin to find peace within your story as you discover peace with yourself.
Which is our third one, peace with yourself. And peace with yourself all has to do with that relationship of you, how you are talking to yourself and how you are declaring God's promises over you, because we all have neurological pathways of what we're thinking about all day long. And what I found for me is that I was living with someone. She looked just like me, and she was wearing a T-shirt called Judge Audrey. Just saying, she was invisible, but she would sometimes wait for me to wake up in the morning. Oh, the second I come to consciousness, she's saying, Judge Audrey's saying, so, you really think you're going to rock this day? So, you think you're going to be able to do this? Don't you remember all the failures you've had already? Don't you remember how bad you are? Don't you remember how stupid you are? Don't you remember how incapable you are? Does this ever happen to anyone else? Well, I just have one thing to say. Three words. Fire the judge. Fire that judge and start to come in agreement with Jesus is saying with you, and you will start to have a relationship with yourself where you know what you're saying. This is the day that the Lord has made, and guess what? His devotion to me is proven by evident by his daily mercies. Every single day there's new mercies for me. And that judge is not doing me any good at all.
In this progression of discovering peace with God, peace with your story, peace with yourself, then you can begin to reconcile with others and have peace with others. They're not a source, but you are a contributor to their life of peace. This is really, really important because you can't make it about them. I mean, we hurt a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, with our story, with the crisis of our marriage, we hurt the body of Christ.
Yes.
That breaks my heart.
Yes, yes.
Our children had to experience pain that they never should have.
Yes.
Audrey experienced pain. We did. But we're able to have peace with others. Whether they remain angry and unforgiving towards us, I can't control that. But my heart is that of, I'm open to you.
Yeah.
I'm vulnerable to you. I can have peace with you.
Yeah.
You may not understand what we've gone through. You may not, you know, be gracious towards us. That's okay. Because I have peace with God. Because I have found peace with my story and peace with myself. Therefore, I will build the bridge of peace towards you. I'm going to build that bridge. I'm going to continue to pursue you. Because that's what my father did to me. While I was angry, while I was distant, while I was far from him, he pursued me with his peace. He says, come to me, all of you that are weary and heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you that you might find rest, peace for your soul.
And sometimes the people don't build their side of the bridge, but you just keep building your side.
I'm going all the way. I'm going to make it easy for my children to come home. I'm going to make it easy for others to have relationship with me. I'm not going to make it demanding. I'm not going to make it hard for them. I have peace in my heart. And because of that, I'm going to make it an easy landing place for them to experience the extravagance of his love and of his joy and peace.
We call our home. We have an invisible sign above our door. It's called the House of Mercy. The Meisners are full of peace in their home, and you will feel mercy when you come in. You will feel acceptance. You know what? We don't approve of everything the people around us do. We don't have to have 100% approval, but we can always have 100% acceptance. Jesus, the Father, always has 100% acceptance. Isn't that cool?
Yeah. Okay,
so the happiest people on earth have peace with God, peace with their story, peace with yourself, and peace with others.
All right, number five is peace within your season. And I got a whole new revelation because of worship today. So it's all a surprise to her.
I love surprises.
I got a brand new message download, and I'm going to unload it on you in 5 minutes. You know? I mean, that's the crazy thing. You know, that's what preachers should never do, but what the heck.
Preach it, Bob. I support you.
And I really wanted to bring this out, and I had no, and then bam, okay. Oh, goodness. Peace within your season. Later this afternoon, make sure that you take a look at Matthew chapter 14. It's really quite a chapter here. What has just happened is that John the Baptist was just murdered. He was just beheaded. And Jesus was grieving this. And he left and he went to be alone, it says. And as soon as Jesus heard the news, he went off by himself in a boat to a remote area to be alone. Verse 13. I'm telling you, this is a tough season. Tough season. And in his season, he chose to be alone. But it wasn't long before the multitude found him. It says there were 5,000 there. And what did Jesus do? Borrowed a boy's lunch and fed them all. It says this in verse 17 or 16, Jesus, you know, replied, it's necessary, him speaking to his disciples, that you feed them. Verse 17, impossible, they explained. The season that we're in, what you're asking of me is impossible. We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Jesus said this, bring them here, he said. Then he told the people to sit down on the grass. He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looking up towards heaven, and asked God's blessing on the food. Breaking the loaves into pieces, he gave the bread and the fish to the disciples, and they gave it to the people, and they ate. This is very important. When Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, it says that he looked up towards heaven. And we think that he blessed. But the literal translation there is that as he took what he had, in this impossible season of his life, losing John, having a multitude in front of him that he needs to feed, the translation there is this, Jesus regained his sight. In your season, what you have is insufficient for the task that is at hand. Take what you have, look towards heaven and regain your sight and feed the multitude. in your season. Then it goes on. And they cleaned it all up, and about 5,000 men were eaten, fed, and five. That's how he did it! Okay. Immediately, dear Jesus. Immediately, verse 22, this is important. Immediately after this, Jesus made his disciples get back into the boat and cross the other side of the lake while he sent the people away. Afterward, stop it, Audrey. Afterward, he went up into the hills. This is so deep. They got to get it. Deep. Okay. Afterward, this verse 23. Afterward, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble. Say, in trouble. In their season, they found themselves in trouble, far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. When you take a look there at that verse in his translation, the winds had changed. About 3 a.m, all of a sudden, the winds had changed. I believe that we're entering into a season where the winds are going to change. And what you were doing won't work anymore. And what happened here with the disciples, it says they were fighting heavy waves. In other words, they were making no progress. And Jesus, knowing this, he went out on the water. And what happened there with Peter? Peter walked on water, but he spoke to the season. He spoke to the winds, and they were calmed. In your season, I want you to regain sight, and the multitudes will be fed. In your season, you might sense and feel the currents of the winds changing, but recognize that Jesus is there in the midst of your storm. And now is the time for you to step out of the boat, step out of what is familiar, step out of what is safe, because you're making no progress. And you've got to get to Jesus in the midst of your storm.
Mm-hmm. And I like to get super practical. Thank you, babe. That was deep and awesome. So now I'm going to just say how that works, because you see, that is so right. But how? Tell me, how do I do that? I
want to. You want me to answer that?
I was going to. But.
Okay.
But how, you know, because it's a big concept. Take what you got and give it to God and get new sight. How does this work? Well, there's another one that I'm going to add to our peace, and that's peace with each new day. Because you see, your day, your life is divided up into 24-hour increments, right? And God says your mercies are new every day, right? We've already fired the judge, but what are we going to invite into our life every morning? In the last year or two, something has completely transformed in my life when I've started to give him the first nanoseconds of my morning. I'm talking about the minute I rise to consciousness, I start to align myself. And it's changing my life in the spirit, because you see, I'm surrendering. First thing, I'm going, okay, surrendering. And how do you surrender? Well, for me, I say, you know what? Christ in me is my hope of glory. Jesus lives in me. I am in Christ. So since I've been raised to this new life with Christ, I'm setting my sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. And so I think about heavenly things. I don't think about earthly things. I'm just saying that fast, because this is what it's all based on. But the thing is how do I do that for real? I see myself that I'm going to drive this car today. It's my day. I'm going to drive a car through my day. And who's going to drive my car? Is it going to be Holy Spirit Audrey, who's full of wisdom, perspective, decrees, declarations, his thoughts, his ways, his moment by moment? I say yes, Holy Spirit Audrey. He's actually in me. This is my earth suit, but he's living in me. So Holy Spirit Audrey's just going to live this day. I'm just responsible for today. And sometimes there's others in the car. Emotions are in the car. And when emotions drive my car, it gets crazy. Fear, all kinds of stuff. So if my life starts to get funky, I go, who's driving the car? Is it Holy Spirit Audrey? Because this morning, in the morning before I say a word, I say emotions. Thank you, God, for my emotions, because God gave me emotions to experience life. but I surrender my emotions to Holy Spirit, Audrey, in agreement and in alignment with everything to do with the Holy Spirit. There's others in the car. There's mind and thoughts. Some people, thoughts are in shotgun. They're always trying to take over. So when thoughts try to take the wheel of the car, you can go all kinds of directions. So I say, thank you, God, for my strong mind, my mind of Christ. You gave me this mind that's active. I've got a very busy mind. But I surrender this mind to my Holy Spirit, Audrey. My mind is surrendered. My body and all its appetites are surrendered. I have another one. My will is in the car. Will wants to take over a lot because I wake up with a list of things I want to get done in the day. But I've learned to say, Holy Spirit, Audrey's driving the car. So Will, I'm thankful I've got a strong will. Thank you, God, because I am so motivated every day. But Will, you're taking the back seat. Holy Spirit, you are surrendered to the Holy Spirit. Did you hear this surrender? Because this is setting yourself up for every day to be guided, living by the Spirit and not in the flesh. That's what I'm describing. Paul says it in so many ways, but this is just practical for me to make it, when I wake up, I'm surrendered and things are changing in my life. I'm telling you, I have more peace and joy than I've ever had. It's increasing every day. And then I was praying this prayer for a long time, and then I realized there's ego that wants to drive the car, and that's the worst. Because ego is full of selfish ambition and wanting to impress others and all this ridiculous stuff that the world thinks is important. So I go ahead and put ego in the trunk. I am starving ego. I have no, Holy Spirit Audrey has no time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Because I'm a Holy Spirit girl. So I started writing this stuff down. I was like, this is helping me. This is changing my life. And I've been a Jesus girl for 52 years now. So I started thinking, I got to write this stuff down. So I just wrote a document. It turned into, it'll be a free ebook. And then all of a sudden I told some guy that happened to be a publisher, and he turned it into this amazing 40-day devotional. I have a few of them with me. But I want you to know that this whole concept is to wake up smiling and surrendered to this Holy Spirit you, because the Holy Spirit you has everything that you need for this day.
Yes. And that is why 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 16, that is why we never give up. Though our outward bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every single day.
Yes.
Say with me, day by day.
Day by day.
Day by day. For our present troubles are quite small and won't last very long.
No.
Yet they produce for us an immeasurable great glory that will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see right now. Rather, we look forward to what we have not yet seen. For the troubles we see will soon be over, but the joys to come will last forever. Woo! King James says this, "For our light affliction is but for a moment, for it is working for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory." The in your season today, he says this, it is working for you. It's not working against you. He says, if you'll trust me, he says, I can cause this season of your life. You might think it's the most chaotic. You might be waking up with a judge every morning, but he says, if you'll trust me, he says, I can katergezumei your life. Just a simple Greek word. Which means this, it works for you. It works for you. And then it says, far more exceeding. And the Greek word there is hyperbole. He says, I want this to create. I want this season of your life to fashion benefit for you that you could not have gotten any other way. It's working for you. And as it works for you, it'll hyperbole your life, meaning it will launch you forward. You think this is going to set you back? He says, no. Trust me that I might propel your life forward to an eternal weight of glory. Weight is the Greek word baros. And the beautiful picture is that of a wheelbarrow, and it's overflowing with produce. It's buckling under the weightiness of glory. Might your prayer be, Papa, burden me with your abundance. Burden me. Would you this morning be willing to pursue him that you'd experience peace with God? To have that absolute confidence in your heart and in your life, that you'd have peace within your story, that you'd have peace with yourself, peace with others, and you'd find peace within your season, recognizing if you do not quit, if you do not give up, he can fashion benefit for your life that you could not have gotten any other way. And he will propel your life forward to an eternal weight of glory. Come on. Go ahead.
So now, remember at the beginning we started, this is all about you. It's just you and God in the room. Where are you at? If you want more peace, just everyone stand. And let's just respond to God and receive from him that peace. But if something specific and you want to make this a breakthrough moment and draw a line to the sand and just say something in me is going to be my breakthrough, my turnaround, just come running up forward and we're going to all pray together. Just anyone who feels it, that there's something significant that you're saying yes to peace for one of those things, please come forward. We want to pray with you. Prayer team, I want you to be up here to pray for people.
Yes, yes,
we
yes,
want agreement.
Yes, yes.
When two or three are gathered in prayer, there's something when you humble yourself and say, I'm going to actually have someone pray with me to just declare this breakthrough for
you. You might be facing an obstacle in your life and you feel as though God's asking you to do something and you're viewing it as an impossibility. This morning, you're going to regain sight. You're going to regain sight. So let's just all right now in
this
moment.
There's so many of you. Come on up. Yep. Don't worry about what it looks like or feels like. Just come up and make that breakthrough.
Let's pray.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for coming.
So let's all just place our hands up.
Thank you, Jesus.
In a posture to receive. In a posture to receive. Okay? In this posture, you begin to recognize all that I have, all that I am is yours.
Yes, Lord.
All right? I don't want you to stand alone. If you need to stand with somebody, if you're facing an obstacle, a crisis in your life, there's still time. Come on down. Mm-hmm. But I want you to begin to receive because you're going to begin to receive new sight.
Yes, Lord.
New sight.
That's
new
it.
Wisdom.
Yes.
New hope. New vision.
Let's,
new dream.
Let's pray corporately. Everyone lift your hands to receive. Just that posture of receiving. And pray after me and say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
That you are my Prince of Peace.
You are my Prince of Peace.
I surrender to you, to my life to you.
I surrender my life to you.
I am at peace with you.
I'm at peace with you.
Wash me, forgive me.
Wash me, forgive me.
I fire the judge.
I fire the judge.
I am not going to be mean to myself anymore.
I'm not going to be mean to myself anymore.
I forgive others.
I forgive others.
And believe the best in others.
And believe the best in others.
And I gain new sight.
And I gain new sight.
In this season.
In this season.
Because my story is yours.
My story is yours.
Write my story, God.
Write my story. Good.
I know what has happened up till now. But you know how to redeem it. Thank you, Jesus.
So, Father, with my life, fashion benefit that I could not get any other way. I don't know how you'll do it, but I trust you. And I'm asking you that you would move me, move my marriage, move my family forward. Father, I thank you for this house, for this beautiful church that I call home. Move us forward.
Yes.
Help us to influence our community and the nations of the world that you would give them as our inheritance. And Father, I also pray now that you would create in me a clean heart. Restore within me a right spirit. Thank you for peace.
Thank you for peace.
Thank you for peace in my heart and life. And so in confidence, as an heir, as your son and as your daughter, I'm asking you, Lord, strengthen me. Take me through that you would burden me with your abundance, that you would find me worthy to display your glory in the earth. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you.
Amen. Do you receive that word this morning? Praise God. Well, I want to encourage you this morning. If you're here, you need prayer for anything at all, the altar is open. We always love to take the opportunity to pray with you. If this message is spoken to you or anything that you just came wanting prayer agreement for this morning, we would just count it our privilege to be able to pray with you. God is so good and so faithful. And even in prayer this morning, just felt that the Lord was saying that today as we come together, that he wanted to give us harvest. And I sense that today, the harvest that we're seeing in front of us is people have been praying for a long time. And it's like keys are being given to just begin to reap today, to begin to pull in what I've been praying for a long time. And the thing that was, the Bible says that a lack of peace separates. And I feel like God's just bringing connection together, breaking down the separation, and bringing us into our divine alignment and purpose with God. So carry this word with you in the name of Jesus. Carry this word all week and be ministers of peace, because now what we've received, we're now ministers of reconciliation with others in Jesus' name. So be blessed. Thanks for being here this morning. And you're welcome to linger a bit. Come to the altar for prayer. If you need to go, we bless you. Have a great week, and we'll see you next Sunday. Be blessed.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you would like more information on who we are, visit our website at lakemount.ca or download our app for your mobile device.